Hello again, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of 15 Good Minutes. As always, it's your guy, Coach B. I'm here with the A-Team, JR. How are you today, buddy?
Doing great, man. Getting my my nerves settled down after all these games.
Fair enough. Sounds good. Freddie, how are you, man?
Pretty good, man. I've been taking a lot of naps lately.
Oh, welcome to the club, my brother.
Hey, I got off today. Today was an off day from the gym, and after I logged on, I took a nap. You know, I feel good, refreshed.
Listen, man, I'm telling you, it's a thing. If you think I'm kidding, check out our buddy over at Golf DMV. You listen to what LB talks about. You get to be a certain age, that nap is earned. It's needed. It's replenishing. I enjoy it. Now, here's the thing, though. When we talk about this, a nap can't be 3 hours, all right?
Nope. No, it was about 45 minutes to an hour.
He's entering what I call the portal, JR. He's coming into our zone now where naps are important to him. Because Freddie's the young cat of this trio. So today we're going to talk about transition a little bit because we're right in the internet. The end of the NCAA basketball season, beginning of baseball, just about to be at the beginning of the NBA play-in games. But before we get there, I want to take everybody back and talk a little bit about the Final Four and the championship game. So I'm going to start with you, Freddie. What did you think about, you know, the Final Four? And I will say this for our audience. Of the three of us, Freddie is the only one that got it right. JR had two Florida teams in the final. Neither one was there. I had FAU and UConn, but I chose FAU. Freddie chose both teams, and he picked a margin of victory of 12, so he was only off by like 5 points. I think it was a 17-point win. So congrats, Freddie. Great job. You know, I think we're better than ESPN and all those other prognosticators. We pretty much know what the hell we're talking about. So you watched it. What did you think?
I thought it was a very good Final Four. For the men and for the women.
I agree with that, JR. You watched them both. What are your thoughts on the Final Four this year, man?
Okay, so the only game I caught from the women, I only caught one game, and I really wasn't paying much attention to it until Caitlin started scoring buckets. She was like, whoa. Now, the last game, UConn and San Diego State,
mm-hmm.
That game, Ned, it was, to me, it was an aggression of each half. The first half, it seemed like UConn came up aggressive and they were going to the basket. They were shooting. They were running up and down the court. And then the second half, San Diego came out. The Aztecs came out like that. And then they kept going. I couldn't figure it out. They kept going to the hole and they were getting in there a lot. And then when the game got, they got where they wanted to be, what they said.
They got one in five.
Yes, by 10 minutes, right? And then they started shooting these threes. And I'm like, dudes, y'all can still go to the bucket. You know what I'm saying? I just think Connecticut, they did what they did the whole tournament. Now, they won, like you said, 17. They had to struggle.
They won every game by double digits.
Yes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'll start with the ladies. I thought it was a great Final Four. I got that wrong, too. I really thought that Dawn Staley's team, South Carolina, I thought they were going to run the table. But we talked about this a little bit last week. They were coming up against some people that were playing well. And I thought that LSU had the benefit of watching the game before. I think Coach Mulkey, the one with all the, you know, the flamboyant clothes, I think she game planned very well. And to you know, your point, Freddie, the one young lady that hit all them threes in the first half, you know, she averaged like 3-4 points a game, but she caught fire. And we talked about that before. You need somebody to do something above and beyond, no matter what the sport is in the championship game. I guarantee you that Iowa didn't game plan for her hitting those threes. And then in the second half, the point guard, 45, she was straight cash. You know, she looked like Chris Paul in the sense that she would get right up to the free throw line, like 15, 16 footers, draining them when they really needed them. So hats off to LSU. On the guys' side, I actually saw JR, so I had a few people over for the Final Four. It was good to see JR came over to the house. We had some guests over. We had LB and Claude from the Golf DMV podcast. We had two of my four grandkids that was kind of everywhere. And we had young Manny Jennings, who is Claude's boy. And we don't you know, we don't have any sponsors on this podcast, but I do want to take a minute to say, if you haven't had an opportunity to look up young Manny, he is an author. He has published a book already at 10 years old. He's been featured on Chatter on Books. He's been featured on Goodreads.com. WJLA Channel 7 interviewed him and his parents, as did WTOP. He has a book out that's called It's Okay Being Me. It's Okay to Be Me, I'm sorry. And it talks about how he overcame stuttering and how he continues to just do all the things that, you know, a 10-year-old wants to do. So I'm going to put a link to Manny's book in the description. And he was here. Now, I'm sure he came over thinking that he was going to watch the Final Four, you know, with his dad and the guys, but I pretty much put him on babysitting duty the whole time he was here, because he was keeping, you know, Zoe and Zion in check. So it's good to see Manny. Congratulations on the book and all that success. We had a good time. We did some pinball and things like that. And that's when I saw what JR saw. I thought in the second half, Florida Atlantic, they were missing some kind, not energy, whatever. They just looked like they were thinking more than they had been the entire postseason. And they got the L. And then when you go to the championship game, and Freddie talked about this last week, UConn is just strong. I mean, they're just strong. They're grown men. They were playing well. They were winning by double digits. They might have been down with the first two, maybe 3 minutes of that game on Monday night, and that was it. They play like a Coach Calhoun led team, like Freddie talked about. There is that certain something that happens, men and women, when you go, you know, to UConn. So congratulations. I thought it was a great tournament. But like we said at the top of the show, now, you know, it's a pivot now. So before I get into a little bit about baseball, I'm going to start with you, JR. Have you been following the NBA? Because now the season is finally coming to an end, and they have this new thing now, right? These play-ins. So if we look at the Eastern Conference, now, Freddie, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think the first six are in, right? And then the next four are your play-in teams. Is that accurate?
Yeah, the first six are in, and 7 through 10 are playing for the 7th and 8th spot.
Gotcha. In the Eastern Conference, the 7, 8, 9, and 10 teams in order are the Miami Heat. I'm talking about the East, right? Miami Heat, Atlanta Hawks, Toronto Raptors, and the Chicago Bulls. Of those four teams, which two do you think move on?
Raptors and the Bulls.
Nine and ten. No, 7 and 8. Okay.
I haven't been watching a lot of basketball because I've been watching college ball.
Okay. Freddie, I'm gonna stick with the East with you. Same again. Heat, Hawks, Raptors, Bulls. Of those four, give me two that you think are going to be end up being 7 and 8 in the when the no fooling playoffs start.
I'm gonna go with Atlanta and Chicago.
For me, I think Jimmy Buckets is playing good ball, so I'm going Miami and Chicago. So I'm gonna go 7-10, and we'll see how that works out. Sticking with you, Freddie, I'm gonna move over now to the West. 7 is Lakers, 8 Pelicans, 9 Timberwolves, 10 OKC. Give me two teams that come out of that one.
I would say at the moment, as it's currently constructed, I would say the Lakers and OKC.
Fair enough. JR, sticking with the West. Lakers, Pelicans, Timberwolves, OKC. Give me two teams there.
I'd like to say Minnesota, but I'm going to say LA and the Pelicans.
Well, I will take Minnesota. I think Minnesota's playing well. And like Freddie said, there's only a one game difference between all those teams. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say the Lakers and Minnesota and see what happens there. Last thing that we're going to talk about, and not a lot, because, you know, this is one of my favorite times of the year is Major League Baseball. So, JR, I'm going to start with you. And I'll throw out an interesting tidbit. I like so far some of the rules changes that I've seen. I've been watching baseball, and these games are coming in now like 2 hours, 30 minutes, 2 hours, 31 minutes. Today, as we're taping, my guy, number 13, Manny Machado, got ejected from a game because he violated whatever the thing is in the batter's box where you got to establish eye contact, and the strike struck him out, and he wanted to argue. You're out of here. So what do you think, JR, about, you know, right now? Have you had an opportunity to watch any baseball? And if so, what do you think the impact of some of these new rules are going to be on the game?
I caught a glimpse of a game, but I think by far already stealing bases, because the base is bigger. I don't know if it has something to do with it or not, but they sure are getting in the stealing.
But it's not just that the bases are bigger. One of the other rules is you on the mound can only throw over twice.
Yes, twice.
So because
remember back in the day,
trying to bait you. Yeah, you could be throwing over all day, yes, and that's what made the game go long. So you as the pitcher gonna have to. You got to determine when you want to throw over.
I like it. I like the time clock, the timing of the pitches. I think that speeds up the game and it stops this cat and mouse thing with the batter and the pitcher, which, you know, one steps out. I don't know. Did they make a rule how many times he could step out as well?
They had that last year. Absolutely.
Okay, so,
Freddie, have you had a chance to look at any of the Major League Baseball? What do you think about some of the new rules changes? And if you have seen any games, any thoughts on what you've seen so far?
I haven't watched any games. I've been, you know, because obviously with the transition from college basketball into NBA basketball, I haven't watched anything. I tried to give the onus to the major sport in hand as opposed to the new joint coming in. However, I will say to JR's point, I think the pitcher clock, the pitching clock, I think it cuts down the speed of the game by what, 25 minutes? And I think that if you're for baseball, for MLB, I think that is very important because you have been losing fans and viewership because people are saying the games are too long. And you can cut it down, you know, from 3 hours to, you know, 220, 240, or whatever the case may be. I think that is a positive that will help retain viewership.
You know, the visits to the mound, you may remember, Joe, I think it's been, what, 3-4 years now, they started putting a limit on the number of times,
yes,
whether you're catching one out or you're pitching coach or whoever, right? So we saw the benefit of that. And then you and I talked about this last year. All of these rules that these folks are now experiencing in Major League Baseball were put in play in the minor leagues last year. So they had a really good sample size with which to choose from. I like the faster game. I like the fact that it's sped up. I'm excited that baseball is here. I'm looking forward to what the season is going to bring. Before we came on air, we were talking a little bit about our PlayStation game, MLB The Show 23, which is also out. I will say this, if any of our listeners or viewers, if you guys are PlayStation folks and you're in the MLB The Show 23, drop us a line and me and Freddie and JR will be glad to bring you guys into the circle, play some games with you. As we do all year long with other sports. As always, before we go, let me check in with the lads. JR, you got something to say this week?
Yeah, I got something to say.
Go ahead, JR. Let me put you on the clock, bro. Hang on.
America.
All right, you good. Go ahead.
Okay, America, it's obvious. I'm not mentioning any subjects, but double standards have got to stop. Okay? I'm just talking about the media always does it, and they always try to turn it into a race thing. The media always trying to make somebody look bad. See, I'm not even going to use a race, but that's what the media does. And it's obvious to a whole bunch of people. So if we can just get rid of that sort of silliness, this whole country would be better. So that's what I got to say.
Joe, I had something to say today, Freddie. Over to you, my man. You got something to say?
I did, but I don't want to overshadow what JR said. So I'm going to hold off until next week.
Fair enough. That's all good. I got something to say, but it's a little unique, not a regular rant. Just want to say we got a friend of the program, you know, Lawrence L.B. Brooks. You know, he held a funeral for his brother this week. So from the 15 Good Minutes team, you know, our thoughts and condolences and prayers are with you. And as a reminder to everybody that's either listening or watching, you know, nothing's promised, right? Go out there and hug somebody, tell people how you feel, tell them you love them. You know what I mean? Because we're losing people and it happens. I mean, that's life, but it's always harder when it's somebody, you know, so, to the Brookses and the Brooks family, if there's anything that the good folks here at 15 Good Minutes can do for you and yours, you have nothing to do, but reach out. You're in our hearts and in our prayers, brother. That's all we got this week. We'll be right back with you guys next week as we start pivoting into baseball in the NBA. We hope everybody has a great weekend. We'll see you next week.